Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. I'm your host, Rudo, joined as always by AJ Haefeli and Blaze Hunter. I'm not going to beat around the bush with this one. That was a terrible loss. The Avs completely blew it and not okay. You cannot play half of a hockey game and expect to win a hockey game. Is pretty much the short answer to this one. And the thing is, the Avs had every ability to win this hockey game. Up 2-0, roughly halfway through the game.
Every ability.
What? You disagree?
No, I mean, yeah, they had every ability to.
Yeah. They didn't.
I imagine that's why people are so pissed off right now.
I don't see how you can be okay with the loss.
Yeah, I mean, you're down 3-2 halfway through the third period against Minnesota. It kind of gets away from you at the end. 6-2 isn't totally representative of how that game went. You feel like you played well. And it just sort of goes the other way.
You feel like you played a decent two periods.
You're like, you know what? That sucked. But you shrug it off. It got away from you at the end. And that happens to a couple teams. You know, it happens to good teams, it happens a couple times every year. To bad teams, it's life in the third period. But
when that happens to you twice in a week.
Then you go to Arizona, you kind of get right, you do what you gotta do. You pound a team that doesn't belong on the same ice with you. You go on the road to play against a team that you've beaten pretty easily twice already this year. You're up 2-0. You've played okay, but defensively you've gotten bailed out by your goaltenders a couple of times.
Yep.
On some breakaways that were not really all that competitive. They shot it right into them, and it was like, yeah. You got a 2-0 lead. You don't care. You know, Makar, Byram, no injury and no need to have an injury conversation tonight. You have a 2-0 lead halfway through the game. You should be one more game one more goal and your
game's over. Yeah.
You're shutting it down. You know, you're even then at 2-0, you don't need to take a ton of chances. You don't need to pinch every chance. You know, you play it a little more on the conservative side. And They just didn't do any of those things. It looked like they got up 2-0, and they were like, all right, these guys suck. We got this. We're 2 points are already in our back pocket. We already have this. I'm not a big effort guy. You know, blame the effort, because it's not really on us to tell other people how hard they've tried to do things. We aren't them. We aren't living their lives, any of that. But you could see it.
They geared it down.
They shut it down.
The difference between the second period and the start of the third period. You don't have to call it effort if you don't want to, but San Jose came to play in the third period on a level that the Avs just didn't bring at the start of it.
And it started on the very first shift against your top guys. Like, Nathan MacKinnon's supposed to be your, you know, he's Galactus. He eats worlds. That's his food. He just destroys planets. And the dude, the very first shift in the third period, they give up a quality scoring chance immediately to Evander Kane. And with Nathan MacKinnon losing Kane in the defensive zone, right in front of his own net, like 3 feet away from Grubauer, like I didn't think that Grubauer had a particularly good game here, and this was our concern. What does it look like when Grubauer comes back to Earth? How hard does he come back to Earth? Is it 880? Is it 870? Or is it like a 9-10? Right now, it's all of the regression has come back in the last week. Like, this, your top guys are just as much for fault as the Dan Renouf, Ryan Graves, Connor Timmins, Jacob McDonald on defense. Like, great, but like, Nathan MacKinnon was arguably your worst player tonight.
I think I'm going to go with Graves for worst player of the night.
Honestly, freaking pick one, man.
Yeah.
Good. I don't even know how you could pick one. There were so many guys that played like shit.
Oh, there was
like some. They dominated. They were dominating the second period. Yeah. The second goal happens. A bad play from Jost and Graves in the neutral zone. And then Belmar loses his guy defensively. And even though it's an open look right in front of the net, like, it's not that competitive of a shot. It's not a great shot. It gets through Grubauer's, and it's just like, it was like the whole team was just like, dang, we were kicking ass, and then they scored. I didn't know that was allowed to happen.
Are you talking about that five-hole shot?
Yeah, and then their first goal. And then after that, it was just like the game totally flipped. It just felt like they're going to lose this game.
Yeah,
it felt like they completely packed it in emotionally after that goal against. And that was it, dude. There doesn't need to be like a come to Jesus conversation or anything.
You fall apart.
The worst loss of the season.
You fall apart and you drop a game 5-2. Maybe you get a pass for that once. You do it twice in a week. Cannot be acceptable. And I have no doubt the Fs know that. I'm sure when Evan comes on the show later, he's going to give us a bunch of one-word responses that the Avs gave in their interviews because they're not happy about it. Yeah. But you got to find a way to – you don't even have to find a way. You just have to play hockey properly when you're up 2-0 halfway through the game. I guess not quite halfway, but you're up 2-0 in the second period. You just play solid hockey and you win that game. You certainly don't give up 6 unanswered goals.
Tonight, like, why were they running the offense through the defense? Like, everything was going to the point, shooting, getting blocked. No change of game whatsoever from the Avs or Bednar. Like, at some point, you have to realize that that's not working. You don't have your two top offensive players back there, and you need to switch it up and maybe cycle out of the corner or something along those lines, because they were just stacking the box again and just hitting players.
Honestly, I don't know if the Avs know what else to do when their top line is as stymied as it was tonight. Yeah.
No, I'm going to disagree. I know that this is a common thing for people to complain about from the Avs. Rudo, I'm sending you this right now.
Okay.
But if you look at it, it's just not where their shots are coming from.
No.
Like, some of them, yeah, and you can make the argument that too many of them, But it's not like this was heavy. This was a heavy issue tonight for me.
Okay.
They had 11 high danger chances tonight. That's chances right in front of the net. That's chances right in home plate. Like, look at that. Look at where those blue spots are. That's right in front of Martin Jones. Instead of that being dark blue, it should just say Nazem Kadri.
Kadri did have 7 shots on goal tonight. But I think it's a bit of a crutch for the Avs. I would actually agree with you, particularly when the Avs were playing well. I think they generated a ton of opportunities in there. But we saw the Avs get down 3-2 early in the third period, and what happens? Oh, all right, start firing pucks from outside. Lean on Ryan Graves shots. Lean on that type of thing. It's a lot more noticeable when they're doing it in the critical part of the game where the next goal is likely to decide what's going to happen. I'll put it that way. So, I hear you. I do think, and I go back to minute 2 of this game, Logan O'Connor has a literal open net that he just shanks it on.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't even, for me, all of the problems that I have a real issue with start after the 2-0 lead. Because Logan O'Connor muffs an open net. JT Compher has an open look from the slot. Like, all these things happen in the first period. None of it matters. They walk in with they end up with a 2-0 lead. They walk out of the first period leading 1-0. You're feeling good. Like, the Sharks pushed a little bit at the end of the first period, and you're like, okay, like, this is gonna be a game, but then they're up 2-0. All that other garbage aside, you're up 2-0. This is the same thing as when I was when we were talking about the game 7 loss against Dallas. At the end of the day, you have a 4-3 lead in the final 4 minutes of the third period. You can't handle it. You got a 2-0 lead against San Jose. You just get fat and happy. Tonight's the first time all season long where I felt like they got self-satisfied. They started feeling good about themselves, and they said, all right, we got this one. And they played lazy, selfish, ineffective NHL hockey. You can't play that solo shit in the NHL and get away with it. You got a 2-0 lead because you played as a 5-man unit. You built your lead. You built your success because you played as a team. Because you played as a group. You stuck to your system. You did what you do. You play to your identity. This isn't a typical California team shuts down Colorado. San Jose traded chances with the Avs tonight. That should be in the Avs' wheelhouse. You should be dreaming about a team wanting to trade chances with you. What's the number one thing that we talk about with this team and how this division, it's such a misfit because all the teams just want to gear it down and they want to muck it up and they want to grind it out. They want to hit and they want to do all those things that the Avs don't want to do. San Jose doesn't do that shit anymore. They're not good enough to. They want to trade chances because it's the only way they can counterpunch. None of their defense is any good. They don't have a single guy on their defense that's any good on defense anymore. It's all a bunch of overpaid old baddies. And we saw that tonight. Mark Edward Vlasic sucks. I don't know how or when it happened, but he's terrible. And he got shown and just put on skates by Girard playing horrible defense. And what did San Jose do to get it back, to get back into things? They traded chances. They were happy to. I have no idea why, but for one night anyway, it worked for them. I don't get it, but this is not John Gibson shuts them down, Anaheim mucks it up, and they own, 35 shots on goal, but they're all from the outside. The Avs had chances. They just couldn't handle Martin Jones tonight. And for once again, I say they have a sneaky offense problem. We felt a lot better about it after Arizona, but they beat a second and third string backup in Arizona. Now, Martin Jones, I don't know what you would call him because we can't see him on another team. But, like, the dude's not a good NHL goaltender. Hasn't been for a while. This is not a case of getting shut down, Marc-Andre Fleury having a great game. This is a team that wanted to play your way, and you just got punched in the mouth the second half. If there's a there's ever a game for them to look in the mirror and say, okay, guys, enough is enough. Are we serious about this or not? It's this one.
Yeah, I mean, the Avs got boat raced in the third. Like that, you know, that shouldn't happen at all. And it was embarrassing. It almost looked like the Avs D just got tired from the amount of time the top pairing was playing. And then you had some big liabilities back there.
I do want to talk about that a little bit more, but we do need to take our first period break here and get to a couple of other things first. We are sponsored by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can check out the DNVR bar, find 8 different brews on tap from Breck Brew there. You can also get their hard seltzer, which is amazing, by the way. Finally had a chance to try some of that the other night. Delicious stuff. Highly recommend. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find some Breck beer near you. We are also brought to you guys by the one, the only Strava Craft Coffee. CBD infused, also available at the DNVR bar. Actually, I think they have a new code. Yeah, if you've already gotten, use the DNVR20 code your second time, go use code DNVR25 for 25% off your next order of Strava Craft Coffee. So they're hooking up the return users. You can jump on that. Get yourself a good little deal on the CBD-infused coffee, known to help with many different aches and pains, migraines, IBS, joint pain, back pain, you name it. It's got you covered. All right, second period, the DNVR Avalanche podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Going to go ahead and bring on Evan Rowell as he is back from what I'm sure was an exhilarating press conference. Did anyone give more than a one-word answer, Evan?
Yeah, I mean, they were both, as Girard and Rantanen, they both made it pretty clear that the Avs lost that game themselves when they just weren't ready to work and play hard defensively. And yeah, Bednar had a lot to say, just said, you know, one of the reporters tried to get him to call out certain players and he just wasn't going to do it. But he said, you know, we've got a lot of players repeating mistakes and we're long enough into the season where this has just got to get cleaned up. So yeah, they were not happy tonight. And there's no real update on Byram, as many would expect. So, yeah, it's nobody was really in a good mood, but I think they're all realizing that they kind of choked this one away with a 2-0 lead.
Just one thing to not talk to a trainer immediately after a game, but to not talk to him before the game either is really working hard.
Well, kind of what they said is that Byram came in this afternoon, met with the medical staff, and they – medical staff said he's not good enough to play. Like his upper body, something's going on there.
How do they deem him not good enough to play, but not inform them of why? It's just, yep, his upper body's broken. We don't know.
I love the idea that on a road trip, Bo and Byram leaves the hotel and goes to the arena and like seeks out the medical staff and is like, my upper body is not good to go tonight. I need treatment. And then they're just like, okay, we'll tell Bedsy. And then trying to picture the conversation where whichever trainer has the conversation is just like, Betsy, Bo's not good tonight. Upper body. Figure it out.
That's all you get.
The upper body injury is just, it's bad in the NHL right now. Just half the league's got an upper body injury.
Yeah.
The other half's got lower.
Frankie's lower, yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I think everyone else on the Avs is technically upper body.
Frankie's is absolutely a hip.
Well, there you go.
That's my pet theory.
Pick one.
They're putting the titanium hip in. So
the fact that they have kept him week to week for this long is already shenanigans, but
so obnoxious. I always say I don't necessarily need to know what the injury is. Just give me an honest like assessment of the timeline. I'm okay with that.
Sure.
If you're going to tell me that Kale McCarr is day-to-day, have him actually be day-to-day.
Not week-to-week.
Yeah, not like he's day-to-day, but he's definitely out the next 4 days.
Yeah. He's not even with the team anymore.
Yeah, he goes home. All right, whatever.
So I do want to get back into the defensive conversation, and I want to preface this conversation with what we said in the first period. Look, there's no excuses. They had a 2-0 lead. You should be able to shut that down regardless of personnel. Did Sam Girard and Devon Toews just straight up run out of gas in the third period? Because these guys were pushing 20 minutes of played time at the end of the second period. I mean, they were getting ridiculous amounts of leaned on by Jared Bednar, and to a lesser extent, Ryan Graves, who I'm sure we'll get into his game a little bit more in a bit. But, you know, you're talking about giving the Avs bottom pair 10 minutes of ice time tonight. Like,
I don't think Taves really looked all that tired, but Girard looked like they cut to him at the end of the first period, and he was just like bent over, huffing for air,
as he should be.
Yeah, because his Taves kind of knows how to, I guess, conserve his energy a little bit more, whereas Girard is just, there's so much skating in his game that if you're going to skate that way for two periods, like, if he's going to get up to 27 minutes or whatever, he's going to get, like, you're going to notice it eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that
I thought G fell off hard.
Yeah. That first period, it seemed like he was out there the whole time. Every time he turned around, it was back out there.
So. Both Taves and G were over 9 minutes after the end of the first period.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Taves, he wasn't on the ice for a goal against.
Yeah. He looks, I thought Taves looked totally fine. Yeah. At
the end of the game, Taves wasn't on the ice for a goal because Ryan Graves was on the ice for literally all five of the non-empty net goals against.
Does that plus minus come into effect here, AJ?
It's all in minus four tonight.
That wild swing at the puck was the like, what?
Goal was
what are you doing? Like,
just skate backwards.
Yeah, just go back and get the puck. Like, if he just keeps going, he's probably fine. Like, just chips it onto the boards and he can live to fight another day. But like the wild swing, as soon as he did that, it was done.
Yeah, I mean,
well, and then Grubauer doesn't help himself when he's like, okay, I've stopped all the other breakaways by just sitting here and letting them hit me with the puck. Let me poke check it. And opened myself up and 70% of the net. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to get on the five-hole goal. San Jose's first goal bothered me a hell of a lot more than their breakaway fifth goal.
The game was over at that point anyway, let's be honest.
You didn't need to watch tape to know Ryan Graves' weakness was skating.
Yeah.
All you had to do was have one scouting report on him in the 4 years he was in the AHL.
That transition there where he like lost the edge was, I think Timmins bailed him out on that breakaway.
Yeah, Timmins got back on that one. Yeah. Made a nice move with the stick to barely break it up. But yeah. What's the answer here for Graves? Is the answer that he's just in over his head as a top four defenseman and the Avs can't continue to do that? Is it that simple?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's absolutely that simple where he just – You smooth out the minutes, you stop playing the favorites, and you just shift it into, look, we're just trying to survive this.
Yeah. Graves' consistency is just all over the place right now. He makes like great plays and then next shift comes out and just makes horrible decisions, horrible passes. It's just all over the place. Mixed bag with him.
Now that was what he excelled with last year, was just being consistent. Like, he didn't do anything that was like gonna rock the boat too much. He was just kind of there, and now it's just like, it's just wild fluctuations. And I didn't want to give him term, and the Avs gave him term, and I really don't like that contract right now.
I want to expand the conversation a little bit beyond Graves here, because we kind of already talked about the effort conversation a little bit, but a lot of the problem tonight seems to be just poor decision from the Avs as a whole. Look at the Avs' second goal, where you get both your defensemen committing. I don't really have a problem with both your defensemen committing behind the net, but you have Burakovsky and JT Compher just standing there in front of the net, not harassing. Who was it that ended up getting the goal? LeBanc? They don't even touch him as he just walks right to the front of the crease. This isn't complicated stuff.
That if Berkey is going to, I don't know what happened leading up to that, but Compher was kind of back in the play on the point and Berkey was down low for a good while. Like at one point, if you watch it, he's on LeBanc and then he just kind of like floats away. And that's where Compher kind of tries to go onto LeBanc at the last second, kind of half-heartedly. But if you're going to go down there and play center, like you got to play center.
Well, it's like, if you ask him, okay, you're standing here, what are you trying to take away? Is it not that exact pass?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it. It's okay. So that pass happens. How do you just not do anything?
Yeah, that's it. Burakovsky clearly not ready to intercept the pass. Comfort clearly behind the play or not kept up with the bank, whatever you want to call it. How can you have two major brain farts on the same play there? Like, both of those guys can't just go controller disconnected.
To me, it looked like Burakovsky rotated over there and Comfort was trying to make up for it.
Sure.
Because why else would Burakovsky be there? And Comfort's chasing LeBanc down there, but first of all, like, that's number one, that's a great play. From Evander Kane. Like, that's a great pass.
Credit where credit's due, for sure.
But like, seriously, I have a way bigger problem with Burakovsky than I do Comfort there, because Burakovsky puts himself right there in that space.
Basically, yeah.
To stop that exact play.
You have,
and then he just,
it's the only thing you can do from that position, yeah. And doesn't
do anything. Yeah. He literally just stood there and watched the rest of it happen.
Yep.
I don't know. Yeah.
If you watch this, because once they go, the goal went in, you watch Saad at the point, who's on his man. He's like, what the hell just happened? Like, yeah, that was rough. I don't know what else to say. That was kind of Bednar did say that it was basically their decision-making that lost them the game, because once it was up 2-0, they tried to score everything off the rush. And when you don't, if you're going to try to score off the rush, you're going to give up some chances too. To me, it's on a lot is on the forwards tonight. You have to understand, you don't have a good chunk of your defense. You need to buckle down and be better. And I think AJ said before the game, you know, this is a game your big guys need to win, and they were the worst players on the ice.
Absolutely caved. The top line just got dominated shift after shift after shift when it came to possession. And there's still, you know, Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen, and they get their opportunities. Rantanen nearly banked one in, but they didn't put up a goal in a game where if they put up a goal in the second period, the game is over.
Yeah.
I'm so over watching this MacKinnon float to the point thing. Like, dude, it worked a couple times, and now it's like every shift.
It's hard to be overly critical of a guy that can just do so many special things, and on some nights it's just like, holy shit for you. But like, he makes himself easier to defend than any other elite player in the NHL. You know, what is it that's so impossible to defend about Connor McDavid in the offensive zone? It's that he uses his skating the way that he does. He attacks. He knows he's the best skater in the world, and he acts like it. You know, Austin Matthews knows that he's a bully and that he has an elite shot and he can do whatever he wants, and he acts like it. What's the difference with MacKinnon? Him floating out to the point? If he's not scoring in transition, like, low-key, like, the guy is kind of uncomfortable if he has to, and you almost never see him getting into the middle in front of the net. For a center, he's really perimeter-oriented, and it's just he does not have that same kind of bulldog mentality every single night, where even when it's not working for him, he's still getting in the middle of things. He's still forcing teams to defend him in a certain way. He floats out to the point, and he waits for something to happen. Now, there were, you know, he did draw a penalty when he was in the middle of everything. He cuts through all their guys, and Matt Nieto hacks his hands, and they draw a penalty. And it's like, there you go. Like, it's, this is kind of an issue right here. But he spends a lot of time on the outside. And on nights where he's not playing very well, like tonight, it feels like it's really, really obvious.
Would you feel like Rantz is doing the same thing too?
Yeah, with Rantanen, and I think he's spending a lot more time trying to go 1-on-3. Yeah. Because he loves that cut in against the grain while everybody is skating this way, and then he cuts against the grain, and it creates all kinds of shooting lanes and all kinds of problems for the defense. But the key is that he has to dance through three guys. And if those guys stop doing what they're doing and are just like, oh, let's just take the puck from him, it's a lot easier to defend.
The thing with Rantanen is he's trying to do that while at the same time consistently passing up the obvious shot to take.
Yeah.
It feels like at times it feels like that top line is just running themselves into a brick wall because they work it around to Rantanen and he won't shoot the puck.
Yeah. Well, and so a great example of this, think about the power play goal that they scored in Arizona
Yep.
Where they won the faceoff, they move the puck, Rantanen shoots it immediately, and Landeskog banks on the rebound.
Yep.
And you're just like, wow, boy, that looks really easy when they do it that way. And then tonight, the power play, the first power play attempt of the night, how does it start? They win the power play, or they win the faceoff, it goes back, Rantanen gets it. He has the same exact setup. He can walk in and shoot it. What does he do? He passes it back to the point. And like, ultimately, it ended up working out, and you know, they ended up scoring at the very, very, very end of it. Whatever. But it was just like, that's not a Ray Bennett thing. Ray Bennett's not the man on the ice with the puck deciding not to shoot it. That's not Ray Bennett. Like, I get that there are Ray Bennett issues, but that's not one of them. That's Ray Bennett's not the guy with the puck making that decision.
Yeah.
It's like Rantanen just randomly, like, this is the difference between him scoring 30 and him scoring 50 in an 82 game season. Because he just doesn't have that mentality. You have one of the best shots in the NHL, bro. Fire away, dog.
This seems like in the past too, he's dropped that shoulder and created chaos in front of the net, right? Like, he goes in, takes a shot. If there's a rebound, you know, it's just chaos because the D has to drop back with him. So there's openings in the slot for guys to take advantage of that. And this year, you're seeing him just curl to the boards and make that pass back.
So my biggest problem with the top line in general this season is that they have become way too comfortable on the outside.
Yeah.
All right, chat. I know you've been looking forward to us ripping the Avs a new one on this podcast for a while this season. So be sure to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel for the quality content that you're looking for. It does a bunch for us if you do that. Of course, you can always watch on YouTube. Highly recommend to catch it live that way. If you can't watch live, you can watch it on replay. Or if you're on the go, you can always get the podcast format as well. We got you covered top to bottom with that. Our producer, Allie, can you confirm to me if we do or do not have any Oh Boy shirts left? I know we're close to selling out, but there might be a few Oh Boy shirts left if you want to go in and get yourself a few. Now might be the time. We're checking on it right now. All I'm saying is it might be sold out. So if there are some left, hit the purchase button. Get on it. Do that. we are also sponsored by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. They've always got you covered with amazing odds boosts all over the place, left and right. They will take care of you and basically give you free money from time to time as well. So make sure you jump on your opportunities when they are out there. Last weekend, they were basically giving away $100 to anyone who bet on just about any basketball game. So highly recommend that one. This weekend, they have UFC 259. All you have to do is pick your favorite fighter in the main event to land a punch. One punch to turn $1 into $100 when you sign up with a new account with code DNVR.
Man, so, how crazy would that be if you can't land a punch?
Zero punches.
It's probably not going to be like Tyson in his heyday where it's like an 11-second fight. And it's like, oh, it actually was kind of tough to land a punch there.
Yeah, not. UFC fights don't go like that very often. You're usually getting into a little bit of a brawl. So if they fail to land one punch, I mean, you're not in the main event, right? At that point.
I took the over tonight, by the way. 5.5 goals.
At least you cashed.
I thought it was going to be the other way around. You should take the over
in every Sharks game ever. It does not matter who the opponent is. Just take the over.
Yeah, I saw.
Smash that over, dog.
It averages like 7.5 goals a game every Sharks game.
They just came off a 7-6 game against St. Louis, who I think won 5-4 tonight. Like, they had another crazy barn burner.
Yeah, the Blues.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, all the good bets here. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR when you sign up to turn that $1 into $100 on the main event this weekend. Excuse me. Limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast.
I just want to see if this is true real quick.
By DraftKings Sportsbook. AJ is looking up something here. Who knows?
Chad is like, the Avs don't shoot enough on the power play. And I'm actually just kind of curious. where they are in shots per 60 on a power play.
I'm going to be on, like, despite the conversation we just had, I think the power play has been pretty okay.
Okay. So, this is actually kind of funny. It's always funny when you think, like, you're like, this is a problem. And then you go and you look it up and it's like, huh, that's interesting. Because, shots per 60 for the Avs, shots on goal per 60 for the Avs, just on the power play, not necessarily 5-on-4, just on the power play so far this year, they're third in the NHL. Which is the funny thing, like the Avs power play, their underlying numbers on the power play have actually been excellent this season, but we're ignoring that because it's still early in the year, and the past seasons, their underlying numbers haven't been good. They also had that 5-goal game on the power play, which, of course, will forever inflate their numbers.
And let's be honest, the power play wasn't the problem tonight. Essentially, both of the Avs' goals were power play goals.
They only got credit for the one, but essentially, it did have two goals tonight. Yeah.
The top unit was kind of buzzing in the second period. They had some good runs there.
Yeah. And
Kadri could have had like 5 goals in this. Kadri has missed a lot of goals, a lot of chances in the last week or so.
So, I mean, how much of that is a problem? Are we still seeing some shooting percentage issues for the Avs, or are they just not converting chances that they should be? Where is the line of when do they get a pass on this sneaky offensive problem you've called it, AJ? When is the pass up and they have to just finish, and this isn't just they're not shooting?
I don't think it's a pass. I don't think you ever get a pass when you have problems.
Okay.
You always need to be working on trying to figure your stuff out. I mean, it's causing them issues, man. They're 11-7-1. And that's like, if they were 13-5-1, how different do we feel? You obviously are feeling a lot better. So you win tonight's game and you win the LA game that you were up 2-0 instead of blowing those two games and letting them come from behind. You win both of those games and you're fine, right?
Yeah. You're tied for first.
Yeah. And you're not even, you know, you're not worrying about me, you know, you're still in your own whatever. Yeah. But I do think that it needs to be better. Like we saw tonight, like Martin Jones, again, for the second time in a week, a goaltender turned Nazem Kadri into his own personal highlight reel. You know, good on Kadri for getting the opportunities and all, but like this is a guy that you're relying on to score goals, to beat a goaltender.
He scored a goal.
Needs to be more of like a, yeah, that's true. Needs to be more of like the 30-goal guy and not like a 17-goal guy, you know, like. You're relying on him to be that guy. He's going to be more like a 17-goal guy. You have a 2-center. You have a 2C problem again. But it's kind of team-wide, you know. And MacKinnon only has, what, 5 goals this year now?
Yep.
Landeskog just picked up the 2 goals in the last 2 games, but they both have come within 2 feet of the net.
Yep.
He hasn't, those 2 goals, the wraparound goal against John Gibson – how many times has Gabe Landeskog just beaten a goaltender? And this is where I think they're struggling, is outside of MacKinnon, Rantanen, and Burakovsky, some of these guys that you brought in to score goals just aren't scoring very many of them. They're not beating goalies. JT Compher had a great clean look, and one of the reasons that you paid him the money that you paid him is because for a bottom six guy, he can beat a goalie every once in a while. It's not happening.
When we did the preseason stuff about the bottom six, the one thing I pointed out was that everyone in the bottom six last year had really high shooting percentage.
Yeah.
Except for Jost, who's kind of always been around the same thing. It's not happening this year. Like, except for Donskoy, who's shooting like 30%. You have Compher, who really isn't even getting shots on net. Like, he has a low shooting percentage, but he's not getting chances outside of like the chance tonight. He's not really creating much. Belmar has... we all expected him to fall back down. Calvert, when he was healthy, creating chances, but he's not a finisher. That's just not what he's always been in his life. And it's kind of seeing, I guess, the opposite of what they had last year, where everyone was shooting a super high percentage.
Kadri had 7 shots on net tonight.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the thing is, like, of all the nights to talk about the power play, and almost all of those shots on goal are going to come on the power play. Almost all the McKinnons came on the power play. Like, at even strength, both of those guys just weren't very good.
Yeah. The top line spent 80% of its time on ice in its own zone at 5-on-5.
So. Yeah, and we don't see McKinnon's line get crushed like this very often.
Yeah.
Where they just, I mean, the Logan Couture line just ate them up. That would have been if you're looking for Jared Bednar to make an adjustment, don't
keep running your yeah. head into that matchup.
Yeah, if you have a chance to get him out there in the neutral zone, maybe hang on to him for an extra minute and let the Couture line go. Try to miss them if you can. You know, because they were just whooping that ass tonight, and at some point, like, you gotta move away from it, right?
I mean, a couple other topics tonight. Since we're on Jared Bednar,
no, he's still not in jeopardy.
Not where I wanted to go. We're not even close to having that conversation. The conversation I did want to have is: Avs come out, get smoked early in the third period. They give up a goal 4 minutes in. Do you consider using your timeout right there?
Yeah, I guess maybe. I mean, my big problem is that we've seen it through Bednar's whole tenure. It's like this team just can't come back in the third period. The lack of, I guess, adjustments. It seems, you know, the whole McKinnon going to the outside, like that seemed like what they really defaulted to in the third period. Like, that's kind of like their comfort food. It's just these perimeter shots. And when you're down, do you think that the opposing team is going to just let you in the slot? Like, they're going to let if you're going to shoot from the point all day, they're going to take it. Like, that's not going to bring you back from anything.
I don't think a timeout was going to help them tonight. They had a 20-minute timeout called the second intermission, and the very first shift in the third period, Evander Kane gets a wide-open look on the doorstep. So I don't have an issue with the timeouts tonight. Just knowing that the problems that were plaguing them after they got up 2-0 continued. They had issues at 2-0. Those issues continued the entire third period. It just never got better. You know, defensively, some of that is a talent problem because you have all these other guys, right? But I agree with what Evan said earlier. The forwards just
hung them out to dry at times, for sure.
Yeah, team defense.
Didn't do anything to help them. Just didn't do anything to help them.
Okay.
I do want to say that I like Timmins in the third period. Like, all of a sudden he starts playing and he's skating a little bit more. Like,
I mean,
that was what he did the other night when I liked him in the first period, is when he's at least trying to be aggressive. I will take that over him sitting back and just making these timid mistakes.
Well, he's not gonna be successful playing that way. Connor Timmins is never gonna be successful playing a controlled, like, very calm game. The only way he's gonna be successful in the NHL because of the physical limitations with his feet.
And
he has to attack.
It kind of circles back to the conversation we were having in the first period where, yes, I get the Avs are down 3 defensemen here, but if you're legitimately talking about playing a guy less than 10 minutes as a defenseman in an NHL game, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You might as well run 5 defensemen at that point.
Like, they did it with 2 guys. They played 4 defensemen.
That's what I'm saying. And, like, of course Sam Girard's going to run out of gas when you're doing that. Like, the Avs dug their own hole in that regard. Strategically, I guess.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest with you, when you give up the lead,
yep,
it makes it harder to throw out Dan Renouf, because, you know, and in, you know, any of those guys, honestly, it makes it harder to, because you're not expecting that those guys are going to give you much of anything offensively. You're just not, it's not, you know, it's not what they do. It's not who they are, even in the AHL, you know, like, you, when you cough up the, when you have a 2-0 lead, you should be smoothing out the minutes and, you know, a more conservative, like, just kind of gear it down just a touch. Stop trading chances. They're only their best chances are coming off of your mistakes. Stop playing like that.
I mean, the game-winning goal is an own goal in this game.
Yeah, and that's bad luck. Where you're like,
they were
the third game in a row that they've scored a goal on themselves.
Yep, Byram, Saad the other night, and now Kadri tonight.
Those ones are the worst. So when it's on the stick and a guy sees it and just chops at it, knowing that the puck's going to go close to the net.
You know. It was so funny to listen to the San Jose broadcast. Like, I think Meyer got a piece of that. Like, guys, Kadri scored on his own goal. Come on.
That was more of a, oh, that's the goal they're going to score, because they could have scored like 3 or 4 times before.
Yeah,
much better opportunities than that.
Vegas had a goal like that last year where Zadorov scored into his own net and Will Carrier slapped Zadorov's stick.
Yeah.
Way more of a legit argument there than like San Jose's guys tonight being like, Timo Meier. And it was like, fellas, come on.
Still credited to Balzers, by the way. So
it's because it was his goal.
Yeah.
Kadri scored that shit.
The fake crowd, I don't know, maybe he was just the San Jose broadcast, but the fake crowd guy there is awesome.
He was cheering for every Av shot.
I know, but like when MacKinnon spun that Alex True guy down to the ice, the crowd went like, ooh. I was like, whoa. This is way more advanced than the Avs. That fake crowd was just like, oh. It's like a constant like screaming.
I was going to say something about that too, because early on it seemed like he was just grasping at anything. Like, you know, like they'd clear the zone and it was like crowd would go wild.
Yeah, that first period was kind of a mess.
It is weird. Like after also all these other rinks have had 2 months to figure out how to do this. And San Jose has only just gotten to start playing games there like kind of semi-recently. So it's like they're still figuring out their whole COVID crowd noise thing. And you're just like, okay.
I actually thought there were fans there because of the different types of responses they were putting out there. I was like, wait, are there fans there? This is California. They can't be.
My favorite part of the fake crowd stuff is when you get to the when we have to work the games at Paul Arena and you get there early. And they're like testing them out. And you're just like, oh, okay. There's nothing going on in the arena. It's all dark. There's no music. And they're just testing out fake crowd reactions. Jesus Christ. This is so weird.
Bring me back True on ice sound, please. Just let me have that forever.
Yeah. The nice thing is, I think fans have pushed back on it enough that they've lowered the volume in most of them, where it's just like,
passable,
where you can hear a lot more. I know at Ball Arena you can hear a lot more than those first couple
games. They tried to like deafen you that first game.
Dude, that first game, like I was having a serious problem. So it's weird.
Let's move into final thoughts on this game, as it's almost Tuesday at this point on the podcast. 6-2 loss, 6 unanswered goals against a team that's sub 500, obviously not acceptable from the Avs, but where do you go from here?
Back to the hotel.
Yeah, I know.
No, seriously.
I know.
I'm not being a smartass. Like, you go back to the hotel and you need to decide. This is a team. Like, look, it's still early, but it's not like early anymore. They need to decide how serious they are about this. Their division has ended up more competitive top to bottom than was expected. It's a huge cluster. They're still in the postseason, which again, after 19 games, like, K.
It's also not that particularly in jeopardy, I don't think, even after this loss. But
yeah, right. That 12 out of 16, they're now 2-2 to start it. So They now need to win
10 out of 12.
I was double checking my math to make sure that was correct.
You just say it, and if you're wrong, you're wrong. You just own it. Okay.
Look, you just have 2 5-1 stretches.
Yep.
It's that easy, right? Just 2-5 in one stretches. I have 10 out of the next 12. That's what we talked about that they should reasonably expect from themselves. It's not even us being like, they're so amazing, they should do this. Like, that should be right in the ballpark of what they view as possible from themselves against this particular part of the schedule. All these home games, like, they got one more road game, and then they start the crazy stretch of home games for them.
Mm-hmm. The prescription's not complicated, right? Dr. Dubs cures everything.
Yeah. Like, go back to the hotel, have a conversation, have an ugly conversation tomorrow about you when you're doing video review. You know, Bednar would never admit to it publicly. He will never know if it ever actually happens, but he needs to chew somebody out tomorrow. You know, maybe it needs to be Ryan Graves, or he gets on him and he's like, look, you're a guy that came back from last year and you've gotten a long leash. It's up. The only reason you're in the lineup is because I can't put someone else in right now. It's up. We need better from you. And then, bam, throw up a picture of four other dudes. We need better from you and you and you and you. And then go through the whole team, because this was a team-wide disaster tonight. This was a team-wide failure on every level. Every single position, forward to defense to goaltender, at all three levels of that team failed tonight. And they need to own that, and they need to decide who they are. Are you guys happy with being a frustratingly talented but inconsistent club? Or are you guys gonna put your foot down on a weaker division and start to win some damn games?
Yeah, I think someone in the chat said, can this team go on a run? We'll see. They were on a run before the COVID thing hit. Like, they were rolling. If I'm Bednar, I sit down all the forwards and I just say, listen, we're playing Dan Renouf right now. Like, you guys, what happened against, I understand Arizona's not as good a team, at least offensively, as San Jose, but when Miska was in net, they gave up nothing. Like, and a lot of that is just because the forwards were just so much better defensively. Like, if it's only one, like, we don't know if Byram's going to be back. He didn't really say anything about it. If he's not back, you got to sit down the forwards and say, listen, we just need you guys to be smarter. Like, we can beat these teams without these defensemen. We're still good enough, but we need you guys to just buckle down defensively, and that's how we're going to have to do it.
Yeah. I would say that this is the game where it's don't believe your own hype, you know, that they still have to go out. The Avs have to work hard. They have to do the right things to be successful. And right now, it almost feels like when you're watching it, they just think that they're going to come in and blow teams out because of, you know, past results. And the problem is that it's inconsistency with them. They're just going through and they're, you know, you basically say this is a game that they're going to win, and then this happens.
You know, when they were playing that way, because there was a moment in this game where that happened, they were doing all the right things. They were up 2-0.
Yeah.
And then
they stopped.
They stopped playing. They stopped playing that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think the Avs felt like, and I think we kind of probably felt like if the Avs got another goal, this game was over.
Yeah.
And what happened is that the Avs pushed so much that they just kind of abandoned playing defense.
Yeah.
And that's as soon as San Jose got the next goal, then the game changed.
And look, I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but the Avs play every other day or more for the rest of the year. Injuries are going to be part of the bag. You're just going to have to play through them. Like,
yeah. To be honest, look, there's a couple of injuries that this team just simply cannot survive long term. There aren't any injuries that they can't survive short term.
Yep.
Kale McCarr day to day, that's, you know, if he ends up missing a month,
be without him for a week. Yeah.
It changes the scope of the conversation. If they miss, he's out for two San Jose games. Kale McCarr cannot be the difference between you handily beating San Jose like in January, or collapsing in the third period.
Yeah,
like I'm not gonna say Wednesday's game is a must win, but I think it's gonna be the kind of game that gives you a little insight into the character of the club. How do they respond? Because there shouldn't be anybody in the world angrier at tonight's result than they are. Bednar shouldn't even have to say anything to these guys. They know. They've set the standard for themselves. They know. And tonight was just Yep. These are the kinds of losses that drive you crazy. This is the worst loss of the year for me.
If you want more info on this loss tonight, we'll have Evan's grades up, AJ's post-game piece, my video all coming up later tonight. You can always catch those in the morning as well. Always great stuff over at the DNVR. Highly recommend. We'll be live with a podcast 1 p.m. tomorrow too. So, yeah, we'll keep pumping out the content no matter what the Avs games look like. Hopefully Wednesday is a response game for them. I see everyone's asking about it. Right now the plan is I'm going to wear the Daisy Dukes for Saturday's show. That may change depending on what happens this weekend, what happens this week. But, yeah. So come ready to party Saturday. That's all I'm saying. Wednesday, Friday, serious time. Avs need to get their stuff together. They need to get going the right direction. We'll break all that down for you. Saturday, you can come make fun of my butt. Okay. Jeez.
I was gonna say, I'm no comment.
AJ's like, I'm working that game. That's Evan's problem.
P.S. Don't leave after the show.
Log off right now.
That's gonna do it for us tonight. Thank you for watching, listening, however you consume the podcast. We appreciate all of y'all. I saw at least one new DNVR subscriber in the chat, so thank you very much.
It's not your fault they lost.
AJ, ever the non-superstitious one.
I'm going to pull up the scene from Good Will Hunting where Robin Williams is telling
it's not your fault.
It's not your fault. We got a tweet where somebody was like, they're 0-1 since I subbed to the site. It's on me. It's not your fault. We're going to get through this.
All right, Chad. It's not your fault. On that note, thank you again, and we will catch you guys tomorrow.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.